Open your Bibles here this morning. We're going to start in the book of Genesis, and we'll end up in Proverbs, Genesis chapter 2 here this morning. And the title of my message here this morning is God's High Calling to Women. God's High Calling to Women. Genesis chapter 2, again, our reading at verse 18, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and Father, thank you for the truth in Scripture. And Father, your word is truth. And Father, we are grateful to have the word of the Lord in our hands here this morning. Father, your word speaks with authority. And Father, I pray this morning as we look at your word that we'd be guided by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that lead us into all truth. Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and honors your word, the living word of God. So bless us, we gather around it. May the saints of God be strengthened and encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Whose idea was marriage? God's idea. God created a man and a woman. And in this verse here in Genesis chapter 2, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." Everything that God said before that, it was good. It was good the second day, third day, it was good. But God says, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helper, a companion for him. Now, man, this may grind against your ego a little bit, but what is the implications if God gives us a helper? We are kind of helpless at some point. We are not complete without our wife and our helper. And God knew that in the his creation that he wanted to make a helper for man. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the fields, every fowl of the air, brought it to Adam. That he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper, a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Anesthesia. You ever thought about that? God put him to sleep. He slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, instead thereof. Now, could God have made Eve just right out of the dust of the earth? He could have. But he went to great trouble to make Eve this way. Now, men, if you ever have a rib removed, would there be a scar there? There would be. And I think for Adam, every time he looked at his side, he remembered where Eve came from. Now, God made Eve out of the side of Adam. He didn't make it out of his feet that he may walk over her. He didn't make it out of his head that he could tower over her. But he took out of his side that they could walk together side by side through life. And what was Adam's reaction? "And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman and brought her to the man, unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, the man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one" what? "One flesh." What is a marriage? One man with one woman for one lifetime. That's a marriage. Is that God's plan? Can you improve upon God's plan? No. That's God's plan. And in our culture today, there are a lot of forces that are pushing back against God's plan. What do we do as Christians? Now, this morning, I want to speak to the Christian woman that knows God. Now, you can be a woman. Now, well, hold that thought, but just turn over here to Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife, called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all what? Living. So today, for every woman that's here, are you a daughter of Eve? You are. You're a daughter of Eve. Who was Eve's father, so to speak, creator? God was. You're a son or daughter of Almighty God. Now with that comes what? Value? Purpose? Placement? What am I supposed to do in life? You know, God has a plan and purpose for everybody. And what's a lie of Satan? See, evolution is such a terrible lie on our nation. Because if random matter and random energy created everything over time, then what is that implication? That there is no purpose for anything. No purpose. But God has a purpose and a place and a plan for everything. And Adam's wife's name was Eve because she was the mother of all living. That's how God ordained it. She was the mother of all living. This is the first family. God was present at the first wedding. And I have a question for you. How did it turn out for Eve's family? Not very what? Not very good. You know, Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. He wants to tear up families. Are families under attack in our nation? Tremendously. But what makes a difference? Well, what's going to make the difference is for people to take the word of God and pass it to the next generation. Now, with that thought in mind, turn to the book of Timothy here. 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy here with this thought in mind. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, spiritual son, not a physical son, a spiritual son, son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father of our and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I've remembered of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, in verse 5, the unfeigned, the genuine, the true faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that is in thee also. Now, what do we have happening here? Now, Satan wants to kill and maim and destroy. Satan wants to ruin family. Satan wants to destroy the family. Our nation is no stronger than the families represented in our nation. You destroy the family, you're going to destroy the nation. Now, what can we do about that? Well, what did Eunice and Lois do here for Timothy? The genuine faith that is in thee. How did he get that faith? Who taught it to him? His grandmother and his mother. How important is it to pass the faith on to your children? Very important. Because not only affects how they live in this world, but it's going to affect their eternal what? Destiny. Is that important? That is hugely important. And on Mother's Day today, and for the wife, I'm talking to the Christians here now. Those that know God are saved by faith in Christ. You want to make sure that you're passing the faith on to your children and to your children's children. For Paul here, He found a young man in Acts. We learn about Timothy when he was traveling, and he ran into Timothy, and Timothy was well spoken of in all the churches. And Paul looked at this young man and said, I want that young man on my team. He's got a lot going for him, and he's going to be on my team. Timothy, you come with me. Now, Timothy had no idea how God was going to use him. But you know what his grandmother and his mother did? They paved the way so that God could use this young man. They paved the way. Now, is this true or not? The minute you want to have family devotions, everything comes unglued in your home sometimes. Does that happen? Do you know what I'm trying to say? The minute you try to move forward in God's kingdom, something's going to happen that just causes an uproar. So what do? Do you just give up having devotions? You regroup and you start over again, right? You know, on Mother's Day here, I just want to encourage you as a mom. Don't give up trying to pass the faith on. Do all of our children turn out well? But what you want to do for Adam and Eve, the first family, it didn't turn out well for them. But you know what we can do? We can line everything up so that we get the spiritual truths to our children. Now, they have their own soil of the heart. They have their own soil. And they can accept it or reject it, but the soil of the heart is their choice. There's an old saying, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him what? Drink. But what you can do is put a little salt in his oats to make him what? Thirsty. Do you see how that works? See how that works? And as a parent and as a grandparent, you can put some salt in your lives of your children to make them thirsty for the things of God. Now, for Paul here, he had a spiritual son in the faith. For us, as God's people, Timothy was a great blessing, but it came back to Lois and Eunice that put that faith into Timothy's life. We'll turn here to Proverbs here this morning, Proverbs 31. How quick is eternity going to be here? It's going to be here quick. You know, in Revelation, Jesus says, even so, I come quickly. And that's been 2,000 years, but I guarantee you, when that trumpet sounds, and this world is, the church is caught up to glory, when is that going to happen? We don't know. But what I do know is we want to be all we can be in this present moment that we have with our children and our grandchildren and in these lives that we have before us. Well, what kind of woman are you going to be for God? Eunice and Lois, they had that genuine faith in their hearts. Well, God gives us in Proverbs 31 here some things that a woman can look at and look at her life. Now, is there any woman who's ever walked the face of the earth that has lived Proverbs 31 out every day of their life? Is there any woman? No. So don't go there. Don't try to think, if I don't live up to this, I'm a total failure and a wreck. No, don't go there. But what it does for you, though, it gives you something to aim for. It gives you something to look at and aspire to do, and it gives you something that you can focus on to evaluate your life. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? A woman that loves God and honors God and puts the things of God first above everything else, for her price is far above what? Rubies. Men, if you got a wife that loves the Lord, you're a blessed man. And you ought to honor her and thank God for her. Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he have no need of spoil. no lack of gain. The heart of her husband does trust in her. How much is trust an important ingredient in a relationship? It's foundational. In a relationship, if you don't trust one another, you're not going to have much of a relationship there. And for a husband and wife to trust each other is huge. And in Proverbs 31 here, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. That's huge. Now, in today's world and culture, what we don't want to do is put ourselves in a situation that can open up the door of temptation or compromise. If trust is an important ingredient, what you don't want to do is do things that put you in a situation where your trust might be questioned. And so what's a practical way? Well, for me and my wife, on my cell phone, she can look anytime on her phone where my phone is and know where I'm at. Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Yeah, sure it is. Because guess what? I don't have anything to hide. Do you know what I'm saying? And it should be vice versa. Because you know what that does? That builds what? Trust. Because I don't have anything to hide. And there's ways that we can build trust with one another. And the heart of her husband to safely trust him so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Do him good. A woman in the Christian home is trying to bless her husband. A husband in the Christian home is trying to bless his wife. Is that going to be a blessed home when they have that type of attitude? They are. Because if they're living for me, myself, and I, guess what kind of home that's going to be? Not real good. And so in our lives, if we're trying to do good to each other, it's going to bless the Christian home and bless one another and bless the family. Husbands, if you love your wife as Christ loved the church, is that what God wants us to do? Does God want men to love their wives as Christ loved the church? Okay. Did Christ act sacrificially on our behalf? What did he do? He died on the cross for the church. Okay. That's the love. Now, women, does that bless you to know, according to Scripture, your man should be willing to defend you? If somebody broke into your home and there was a confrontation there, your husband will defend your life. Would that bless you to know you have that kind of man? Would that bless you? That you could have that, that should bless you. Now, with that being said, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Can men and women have different opinions in the home? Can y'all have different opinions? Boy, it's so quiet out there. Can y'all have different opinions?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is the man the head of the home? Okay. He's supposed to be willing to die for you if it's so need be to protect your life and your well-being of your children. But what does God ask the wife to do? She is to lay down her life for the good of her husband, doing him good, that wherever he leads the family, she's willing to what? Go. See, it works both ways. God wants the man to lay down his life for the wife. The wife is to lay down her life, not doing her will, but doing, following her husband's leadership, because in doing so, it's like a two-headed animal is a monstrosity. There's times where calves have been born with two heads. That's a monstrosity. And in a home, men and women, each one has their role. It's not that women are inferior, but God has just ordained the man to be the head of the home. So when she does him good, she's going to respect his leadership, and she's going to respect him as a man. Now, men, do you want to be respected? Thank you, John. I heard that. Men, it's just in our DNA. We'll never get away from it. It'll never change. We don't want to lose face. Now, men, how would you feel if your wife was talking to some ladies and you overheard her say, do you know what my husband did the other day that was so stupid? Man, what would that do to you? What would that do to you? That kind of gets you a little fired up, wouldn't it? It would hurt your feelings. And so when a woman does her man good, she's not going to talk in ways that make him look bad in front of other people. Now, in closed doors, a wife can say, honey, that's the stupidest thing you ever did. Why'd you do that? That's between you guys and behind closed doors. But in front of everybody, if she's going to do him good, she doesn't run him down. Because a man doesn't like that. Because he's lost face. And so if you want to do your man good, build him up. Now, there's all kinds of men in this world. All kinds. I got it. And sometimes, wives, it may be you find a difficult time finding something to praise your man about. If he tied his shoelaces really good, say, sweetheart, that's the best shoelace tying I've ever seen you do. You can find something. I guarantee you can find something to give him a little encouragement. Because he goes out in the work world and he gets beat up all day long. Jobs can go terrible. Things can go bad. And he comes home, and you know what he wants? He wants one woman that believes in him, that will do him good all of his days. Because he may be trying to provide for the home, and somebody else gets the promotion at work that he was so hoping he'd get, and now he doesn't have the money he needed to do whatever, and he's kind of bummed out. And remember here, E.V. Hill told the story that when he was a young man, they were Christians, and he wanted to buy a gas station with some inheritance money, and his wife thought they ought to go another direction with the money, but she said, if God told you to do this, we'll do it. But she says, I don't feel good about it. And guess what? The gas station went bankrupt. They lost all the inheritance. They lost the gas station. And he was so devastated. And he just knew driving home when they repossessed the gas station, what was he going to find when he got home? He thought he was going to hear, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. But you know what she did to him, Evie Hill? He got home and she said, before he got home, she said, what am I going to say to my husband? And she thought, you know, he's not a drinking man and he's not a smoking man. And she says, if he spent his whole life drinking and smoking, how much would that cost? So she multiplied that out. And I don't know how she figured out how much to drink or smoke, but somehow she came up with a number. And he came in the door and she said to him, sweetheart, I know we lost the gas station, but you're not a drinking man and you're not a smoking man. And I figured in our whole life, what we lost to the gas station and what we save over here, it's a wash. Don't worry about it. Is that a woman trying to do her husband good? Do you see how that works? And here in Proverbs, it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, if you got a good woman like that, man, you ought to thank the Lord for her and build her up and make her feel. Now, men need to be respected. Women are relational. They need love. Women, can your husband love you too much? I don't think so. They can't love you too much. So husbands, if you got a good woman and she's doing you good, make sure you appreciate her. And you do things that bless her back. Now, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willily with her hands. Now, how does that, in our culture, if you need a dress, you don't go out and get wool and flax, do you? You don't chase the sheep down and cut the wool off, do you? We haven't been there for a long time. But in this day, the wife was the one that dressed her husband and her children. She was the one that sold the clothes. She was the one that went out and made sure that they had nice clothes to put on. Well, read this along with me. She is like a merchant ship that brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and giveth food to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hand, she planted the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. That sounds like a busy woman. I heard somebody say one time, every mother is handicapped. They only have two hands, okay? There's not enough left in the day. But guess what? She's a busy person. Working, providing, taking care of, nurturing, encouraging, strengthening. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She's taking care of her home. And eateth not the bread of what? Idleness. How many YouTube videos are there out there? Gazillions. You could stay all day long watching videos and on your phone. But guess what? Things at the house aren't what? Getting done. And we don't eat that bread of idleness. We're busy taking care of our home. That's a good woman. She's going to provide for her family a nice place to live, a home that's they're taking care of, their home's taken care of. She's on it. She's on it. She don't eat the bread of idleness. Look at verse 26. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. In Proverbs 31 here, she opened her mouth with wisdom. During Sunday school here, I asked people to share some gold nuggets your mom may have given you in life. Are you teaching your children wise Christian living? Kurt, during Sunday school, he shared that his mom told him, if your friends jumped off the cliff, would you jump off the cliff with them? Did I get that right, Kurt? Yeah. Is there wisdom in that? Just because your friends do it don't mean what? You should do it. Do young people need a mom in their ear? They do. They need a mom who's going to speak wisdom in their ear. The problem we find in the Christian home is there's too many people speaking into our children's ear. And they're not saying the right thing. And we have to be careful. What they hear is wisdom. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. We speak the truth in love. She looketh well to the ways of her household. Now, we've got young children coming up. Before they can be taught the Word of God, they have to be trained to hear the Word of God. What does that mean? They have to learn to sit still and what? Listen. A child that can't sit still and listen isn't going to hear anything you're saying. And for a mom, you know, like, for us, when we're raising our kids, the dinner table is a great place to start putting training into practice. It's huge. I was actually visiting a house one time and the large family, and I remember the dad, and they hadn't prayed yet, and one of the sons picked up his fork to start eating before they prayed. I just remember him looking across the table, and he called his son's name and said, put that fork down. You wait till your mom gets in here from the kitchen, and we're going to pray all together. Do you see? That's a small thing, but what is that teaching that child? Self what? Control. Restraint. Wait. Because if you let children just fulfill their appetites and their immediate desire, you're going to have what kind of home? Chaos. So around the dinner table is a great place to start training your children with wisdom and the law of kindness. How you say it, you don't crush a child, but you instruct a child. Now you do that, and what is verse 28? Moms, you've worked hard all your life. Her children rise up and called her what? Blessed. Now, why is that? Now, young people, when they're being taught how to behave, how to live life, do they kick back at that sometimes? And they do. But as they kick back, one day when they get old enough to realize, my mom wouldn't let me do this and this and this, and I see the harm in it now. Then they're going to rise up and call you what? Blessed. Because you did what you had to do at that right time back here, and it wasn't until down the road they realized what a great mom they had. When you're disciplining your children, is that a highlight of your day? Not at all. But is it necessary? Because if you want to hear verse 28 being said to you, her children rise up and call her blessed, you teach your children the ways of the Lord. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be what? Praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've looked at here this morning, and we pray as God's people that we could live our lives in such a way that honors you. I thank you for our moms, our wives, the daughters of Eve here today, God. And Father, I thank you for being faithful and true. And Lord, you have a pathway for each of us that we've lived. And Father, your grace is sufficient for each need we have. So Lord, bless us as we strive to have a godly Christian home. Lord, help us to defend our families and honor you in our lives and to speak the truth in love. And Lord, help us to see the Christian faith move forward in our homes. Thank you for our wives, our mothers, the daughters of Eve that have done a good work in your kingdom, God, whether they're physical children, spiritual children that you have blessed and work in and through their lives. We thank you for them, God. So Lord, bless us as your people, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.